Welcome to Scan.org, a Mount Down Under production for NIMFM.org, UpstartRadio.com, RadioForAll.net, and community radios worldwide. My name is Martin. I'm your host for this program. Catch you later at the end of the show again.
That violence
is an acceptable means to resolve a conflict.
Jack, listen, tell me, Jack, when did you first, develop this theory?
Well, I first became aware of it, Mandrake, during the physical act of love. Yes, a profound sense of fatigue, a feeling of emptiness followed. Luckily, I was able to interpret these feelings correctly. Loss of essence. I can assure you it has not recurred, Mandrake. Women sense my power, and they seek the life essence. I do not avoid women, Mandrake.
Yeah.
But I do deny them my essence.
Half goat, half human, bear-like.
Who goes by many different names.
Lucifer.
But there's one place you're guaranteed to find him. Down in hell.
You want to talk to the President of the United States?
One unmistakable legacy of Vietnam is that the price of America's withdrawal was paid by millions of innocent citizens whose agonies would add to our vocabulary new terms like boat people, re-education camps, and killing fields.
And Vietnam and Korea, of course, were not victories for America. Korea ended in a draw, and Vietnam ended in a loss.
Our troops are seeing the progress that is being made on the ground. And as they take the initiative from the enemy, they have a question.
But there have been fresh blows to the U.S. mission in Iraq. 14 American soldiers have been killed in a helicopter crash, and suicide bombers have claimed at least another 24 Iraqi lives.
Prime Minister Maliki's a good guy, good man.
Had the Americans stayed in the region, there's every reason to hope that Pol Pot, the killing fields would have been averted. The point is well made that the left like to think that Vietnam was solved with a pullout. It wasn't. It was made worse.
More American troops would have died.
Why can't he?
More American troops would have died. More Vietnamese troops on each side would have died. Well, of course they would have more died. And there was up to 4 million Vietnamese civilians died. All you would have had was protracting a war which the Americans were going to lose in the end.
What do we do with our troops, given that the surge is working?
Well, look, America's got 160,000 troops there, plus 100,000 mercenaries, and they're going to get out anyway,
right,
because they're losing.
Well, look, your argument, I think, really should be, if you don't think they're doing enough, and the surge is working, maybe they should do even more.
Well,
the surge in itself is working.
What the experience has been is that they train Shiites to go and kill Sunnis with that experience that they've learned, and Sunnis to go and kill Shiites. There's a civil war underway.
Brian, that is so out of date. It is so absurd and wrong and ill-informed.
Americans say is happening.
No, they do not. They say the opposite. They say that the Iraqi troops are now more reliable than ever.
What we are saying
is the surge has helped kill.
Was the first time Australia went to war without Britain. It was a controversial war based on the premise of the domino theory, where it was said vulnerable Asian nations would fall to communism one by one and eventually cause us to topple over. It was an unpopular war that was to divide the nation and cause the greatest social and political dissent in Australia since the conscription referendums of the First World War. Initially, Australia trained South Vietnamese forces to help stem the spread of communism, but by early 1965, South Vietnam was struggling to stave off the communist insurgents. And by the following year, the US had committed 200,000 troops to the conflict. As part of the build-up, Australia, amongst other nations, was asked to provide support. The Australian government dispatched the 1st Battalion Royal Australian Regiment, 1RAR, alongside US troops in Bien Hoa province. A year later, Australia replaced 1RAR with two battalions and an RAAF squadron of Iroquois helicopters to be based at Nui Dat, Phuc Toi province. Unlike 1RAR, the task force was assigned its own area of operations and included conscripts as part of the National Service Scheme. All nine battalions of the Royal Australian Regiment served in the task force at one time or another, and at the height of the involvement numbered 8,500 troops, including a third RAAF squadron and destroyers of the Royal Australian Navy. In August 1966, a company of 6RAR was engaged in one of Australia's heaviest actions of the war, near Long Tan. After 3 hours of fierce fighting, during which it was feared that the Australian forces would be overrun by the enemy's greater numbers, the Viet Cong withdrew. Many Australian troops were killed and wounded.
Rotor Droop, experienced Rotor Droop in the Black Hawk. In a friendly fire incident, three British soldiers in Afghanistan have been killed by American fighter planes.
And tragically, this bomb killed three of the soldiers and injured two more.
And in 99 cases out of 100, we need to remember they have saved countless British lives by their intervention in the nick of time, providing very positive air support.
The use of air support has also led to many civilian casualties, and that's alienated the local population.
At the end of the day, we should be having far more ground troops in Helmand.
To restore public confidence in defence security.
A decision is being made by the President and the Joint Chiefs in the war room at the Pentagon. And when they realize there is no possibility of recalling the wing, there will be only one course of action open, total commitment. Do you recall what Clemenceau once said about war? He said war was too important to be left to the generals. When he said that 50 years ago, he might have been right. But today, war is too important to be left to politicians. They have neither the time, the training, nor the inclination for strategic thought. I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
If, prior to this time, we have done nothing further to suppress their retaliatory capabilities, we will suffer virtual annihilation. If, on the other hand, we were to immediately launch an all-out and coordinated attack on all their airfields and missile bases, we'd stand a damn good chance of catching them with their pants down. Hell, we got a 5-to-1 missile superiority as it is. We could easily assign 3 missiles to every target and still have a very effective reserve force for any other contingency. An unofficial study which we undertook of this eventuality indicated that we would destroy 90% of their nuclear capabilities. We would therefore prevail and suffer only modest and acceptable civilian casualties from the remaining force, which would be badly damaged and uncoordinated. Mr. President, We are rapidly approaching a moment of truth, both for ourselves as human beings and for the life of our nation. Now, truth is not always a pleasant thing, but it is necessary now to make a choice, to choose between two admittedly regrettable, but nevertheless distinguishable post-war environments. One where you got 20 million people killed, and the other where you got 150 million people killed.
You're talking about mass murder, General, not war.
Mr. President, I'm not saying we wouldn't get our hair mussed, but I do say no more than 10 to 20 million killed, tops, depending on the break.
The extinction.
The human race.
Could be tomorrow, could be in 10,000 years, we can't really tell.
Madness.
The human race
has been killed.
The human race.
Madness.
I don't think we're moving fast enough.
Asia's arms race has gone up another notch.
A US aircraft carrier group is stationed in the Persian Gulf, and another is on the way.
Drop the bomb to stop the bomb. That's the peculiar logic of reported American planning to use aerial bombardment, including nuclear weapons.
This can't be endless. The Iranian program is progressing.
Today, another enemy, a different kind of enemy, has made clear its intentions with attacks in places like New York and Washington, D.C., and so many other places.
The doomsday scenario.
Resumption of nuclear tests by India would create serious situation obliging Pakistan to review its position and to take action appropriate and consistent with our supreme national interest.
I think the decision of the Australian government to sell uranium to India risks causing such resentment in Pakistan that they will withdraw or at least scale back the extent to which they are providing assistance in the fight against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda militias.
Hi there, my name is Major General Rudy Schwarzkopf. I'm the official spokesman for United States Federal Military Forces. Now, I have been instructed to play safe, assure you good people down there in Austria that any ridiculous concerns you might have about us using depleted uranium weapons on your soil has been secretly, has been officially approved by our people who run your country, by your official representatives in the federal government. Now, we have told them, asked them, if we can occupy, lease a small portion of land up there in northern Queensland, just north of Yeppoon, Cold Shoalwater Bay, because we'd like to go in there and blow it to bits, use it as a special weapons testing ground on a permanent basis. Hell, it's only a bit of scrub country anyway, due to the fact that we can no longer test these weapons on our own soil, due to the unpatriotic efforts of a few protesters in their own country that would rather go on about health risks and deformities instead of helping us with our push for world dominance, push for freedom and democracy. And luckily for them, freedom of speech still exists in America, but we're working on that. We're working on helping them change their point of view by developing closer ties with our local police forces. Let me assure you, there is no medical proof that depleted uranium weapons can cause harm to the human body. And that is, of course, unless they hit you. And then you become what is known in military circles as a crispy critter. Man, she cooks. Cuts through steel like butter. Leaves a lot of radioactive powder around the battlefield, but hell, that soon blows away. Since our first use of depleted uranium weapons in Desert Storm, it has proven impossible for us to determine whether there are any harmful effects due to the fact that old medical records were pushed, fell over the side of the ship somewhere between Kuwait and New York City. Problem solved. A tragic mishap. Now, this stuff ain't gonna be blowing around too much. Most of it is going to end up in your soil. And that won't show up in your water table for at least 100 years. Let me assure you, life will be different by then, especially if we have our way. Take over. Win the fight for freedom and democracy. The only time that you need to worry is when that wind starts blowing from the north, which don't happen too much there at Yeppoon anyway. Just cover the crack at the bottom of the door with a towel, and don't go outside. It's best not to eat nothing from your garden. Not until the wind changes anyway. And if you do, wash it in water. But don't use water out of your rain tank, or out of your local water supply, or better to use bottled water, yeah. But don't use bottled water from Bosnia or from America, or especially from the Middle East. In fact, get your food from out of town. Don't grow nothing. Now, this health thing is a non-starter as far as I'm concerned. I mean, just because half your expendables, I mean your veterans from Gulf 401, are in walking frames and wheelchairs and pissing blood don't mean nothing. I mean, luckily, I mean tragically, we blew up Saddam's entire stockpile of U.S.-made chemical and biological weapons. And I mean, all that oil burning really helped us. I mean, hampered us by muddying the waters. I mean, our boys were breathing in all sorts of stuff. Let me assure you, you good Austrians, that we know and love you well, especially your women folk up there in Rockhampton, and that we would like to treat Shoalwater Bay the same way we treat your gals. I'll be seeing you all soon. This has been Major General Rudy Schwarzkopf signing off on behalf of the shareholders, the commanders of the United Nations, the American United Forces. Bye now.
Private Lindsay Churchill described his memories of his time in Phuc Toi province. When on patrol, time stood still. It was arduous. You had to have nerves of steel. The untamed sounds of the ever-changing vegetation, tangled jungles, dense growth and scrub reminiscent of back home, sharpened your senses. Paddy fields pitted with artillery holes, the ever-present rubber plantations, gnarled prickly vines that would not let you go, and the shadows. The shadows would play with your mind. At times you couldn't even see a few metres past your face. A beautiful jungle, really, if it wasn't for the menace that was always watching and listening. The master of camouflage, a foe with a friendly smile. Winding tracks with threat of booby traps, webs of hidden tunnels and bunkers, and all the time Charlie knew where you were. It was but a game of cat and mouse. A month of stealth all the time, and nice and quiet. Absolutely no talking. Only hand signals or a changed expression of the face. Periods of mind-numbing boredom, only to be interrupted by the hell of absolute mayhem, the blinding flash of tracer shell casings raining from choppers above, the smell of cordite, noise and bewilderment, often with no idea where the enemy's fire was from. Everyone would dive to the ground and let loose with everything they had. Up to 20 glowing weapons raging, cutting down vegetation all around. A strange, euphoric fear embraced you and cleared your mind, but the hell was off and over in a few moments' time. At dusk, you could rest your weary bones beneath a pathetic plastic sheet to listen through an earpiece, James Brown or Creedence Clearwater might give you peace.
The fools, the mad fools.
What's happened?
The doomsday machine. capability. The Doomsday Machine, what is that?
A device which will destroy all human and animal life on Earth.
All human and animal life?
It will produce enough evil radioactive fallout so that within 10 months, the surface of the Earth will be as dead as the moon.
Come on, you're ridiculous. Our studies show that even the worst fallout is down to a safe level after 2 weeks.
The Doomsday Machine is designed to trigger itself automatically.
But surely you can disarm it somehow?
No, it is designed to explode if any attempt is ever made to untrigger it.
Automatically?
That's an obvious commie trick, Mr.
Well, this is absolute madness, Ambassador. Why should you build such a thing?
There were those of us who fought against it, but in the end we could not keep up with the expense involved in the arms race, the space race, and the peace race. And at the same time, our people grumbled for more nylons and washing machines. Our doomsday scheme cost us just a small fraction of what we've been spending on defense in a single year. But the deciding factor was when we learned that your country was working along similar lines, and we were afraid of a doomsday gap.
Mr. President, deterrence is the art of producing in the mind of the enemy the fear to attack.
Gee, I wish we had one of them doomsday machines, Daisy.
Mr. President, I'm beginning to smell a big fat commie rat. Suppose Kissoff is lying about that fourth plane, just looking for an excuse to clobber us. I mean, if the spaghetti hits the fan now, we're in trouble.
Mr. President, I would not rule out the chance to preserve a nucleus of human specimen. It would be quite easy. At the bottom of some of our deeper mine shafts, radioactivity would never penetrate a mine some thousands of feet deep. And in a matter of weeks, sufficient improvements in dwelling space could easily be provided.
How long would you have to stay down there?
Possibly 100 years.
You mean people could actually stay down there for 100 years?
It would not be difficult, mein Führer. Nuclear reactors could... I'm sorry, Mr. President. Nuclear reactors could provide power almost indefinitely. Greenhouses could maintain plant life. Animals could be bred and slaughtered. And the computer could be set and programmed to accept factors from youth, health, sexual fertility, intelligence, and a cross-section of necessary skills. Of course, it would be absolutely vital that our top government and military men be included to foster and impart the required principles of leadership and tradition. I would guess that they could then work their way back to the present gross national product within, say, 20 years.
I must confess, you have an astonishingly good idea there, Doctor.
I think we ought to look at this from a military point of view. I mean, supposing the Ruskies stashed away some big bomb, see, and we didn't. When they come out in 100 years, they could take over.
I agree, Mr. President. In fact, they might even find immediate sneak attacks or they could take over our mineshaft space.
Yeah, I think it'd be extremely naive of us, Mr. President, to imagine that these new developments are going to cause any change in Soviet expansionist policy. I mean, we must be increasingly on the alert to prevent them from taking over other mineshaft space in order to breed more prodigiously than we do, thus knocking us out from superior numbers when we emerge. Mr. President, we must not allow a mineshaft gap.
I have a plan.
Monsieur!
There is no way on earth that we would contemplate during the life of this government introducing a GST.
Violence to the democratic process.
Honest John is your disguise, but I see swastikas in your eyes. Your 10-point plan has stopped the Maoris. I hope you die in some kind of hurry. John Howard, yeah, John Howard, yeah, bloody liar. John Howard, yeah, full of shit. John Howard, why don't you get John Howard, yeah. John Howard, you're a bloody liar. John Howard, you're full of shit. John Howard, why don't you get
f***ed? I would say that, didn't I? Never ever, never ever, never ever.
never ever, never ever, never ever.
Tell me about your GST and what the fuck is gonna be for me. Parallel imports, the Telstra sale. Oh, I'm coming your mouth, checks in the mail. John Howie, yeah. John Howie, you're a bloody liar. John Howie, you're full of shit. John Howie, why don't you get John Howie, yeah. John Howie, you're a bloody liar. John Howie, you're full of shit. John Howie, why don't you get John Howie, yeah. John Howie, you're a bloody liar. John Howie, you're full of shit. John Howie, why don't you get John Howie.
And now, Superman. Mighty being from space, stronger than steel, free to roam the world on his lone patrol for the benefit of mankind.
Vladimir Putin recently bared his chest for men to get muscles just like Vladimir Putin's. 54-year-old Russian leader flashing his bare chest. Bare-chested Putin. Putin is a sex symbol.
True identity of Superman.
The French magazine Paris Match apparently airbrushed his photographs to slim him down as a man of action and sends a strong message to the rest of the world that Russia is no weakling.
Superman.
So if you see unusual activity in and around Sydney Ferry this morning on the harbour, don't be concerned. It's part of an ongoing security preparation that's become more frequent in Sydney.
Slightly more difficult to ensure crowd control.
Coordinate the different security forces involved in this massive security operation, from the Australian Federal Police to the Spy Service, ASIO, to the Defence Force as well. I mentioned the FA-18 Hornet involved in today's flypast, but around me today I see all sorts of uniforms.
Going up.
Where there's wealth and power, there's usually tight security.
Here in Sydney, a great wall is taking shape. It's made of concrete and steel. The wall is several metres high, clearly designed to keep some people out and others safely inside. I feel a bit like I'm in Berlin during the 1960s. Sydney's wall, though, has no graffiti yet.
You're listening to
Scandal.
Please please visit nimbinradiomedia.libsyn.com for details and web links.